Welcome to Dollars and Cents, Creating Your Fulfilled Life with Nicole Romito from Private Vista. In this podcast, we draw from years of experience as well as guest specialists to help you create the life you imagine. Join us in this journey as we enlighten and empower you to align your lifestyle to help you achieve your goals with a clear picture of your future. Now, let's get to the show.
Hello and welcome to the Dollars and Cents podcast with your host, Nicole Romito. Well, hello, Nicole. I know I look a little different today. I don't look like myself. That's because Bill is out and I'm stepping in for him.
Well, we appreciate you helping us out today, Wendy. I'm sure you'll be just as fabulous as Bill is.
Happy to be here. So we do have a guest though, right?
Absolutely. We have a very special guest. I'd like to welcome into our studio, Terry Savage. Hi, Terry. Welcome.
Hi, Nicole. Great to be with you.
Yeah. And what Terry and I are going to talk about is kind of what women should know about their finances for different stages in the life cycle. So before we jump into our topic today, for our listeners, those who may not be familiar with Terry, I'm going to give a brief bio. As I mentioned, we have Terry Savage in studio with us today. She is a nationally recognized money expert and speaker on the economy, the markets, and personal finances. She writes a weekly newspaper column syndicated by the Tribune Content Agency. She also appears regularly on radio and television, commenting on the financial news and markets. While Terry is the guest today, she also co-hosts her own weekly podcast, Friends Talk Money, and her free newsletter has more than 25,000 subscribers. You can find out how to follow that on her website, which is terrysavage.com. She answers a whole host of personal finance questions. And one thing that we wanted to note is Terry does not have any paid advertisements or click-throughs on her site. She is just here as a fiduciary to share her experiences and extensive knowledge on really all things personal finance. And where she has gotten her experience from is she started her career as a stockbroker and then became a founding member. And this is really huge. The first woman trader on the Chicago Board Options Exchange. And she was also a member of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange International Monetary Market, where she traded interest rate futures and currencies. So that is not an insignificant accomplishment, Terry. I'm impressed and really proud to know you and have you on as our guest today.
Thanks, Nicole. Well, listen, I've been in the markets for many, many years, but I'll tell you, I'm much better talking about it than doing it. Otherwise, I'd still be, well, they don't have trading floors anymore. But
no, they don't.
But the lessons I learned in the financial markets about long-term investing, yes, about making a plan and sticking to it and not getting scared, those lessons have carried me through to the moment where today, at this stage of my life, I can do these kinds of things. I trademarked the name of the Money Lady. So if you go to the Money Lady, it'll take you to terrysavage.com. So I spend my time trying to help people. I'm like the Dear Abby in my Ask Terry blog there. And I write a column every week. And so I've just tried to create a resource. My brand is The Savage Truth. It's the name of my most recent book that's had three editions. So
it's amazing.
Yeah, the goal is not. So in other words, I just want to make clear at the outset, I don't have any clients. I don't have any fees. I've been registered as an investment advisor and a commodity trading advisor forever, before many of you were born. And my goal is to be able to give you the kind of unbiased advice that's really hard to find, since the street, with a little bit of exception of present company here, Nicole, the street really makes its money by getting you to do stuff.
Right.
And in this case, I want you to know what the alternatives are so you can make smart decisions, not colored by someone's desire for their retirement over your own.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's the good and the bad news with, there's just so much, there's no shortage of where to find information out there. I mean, getting into my building today, right? You've got it flashing on the elevator screen. You've got your phone in your hand, you log in, and it's just, we're really being, it's an a barrage of information. And I know when I'm when us at Private Vista are talking with our clients, I think our biggest value is what information applies to me. And then how do I apply it to my personal situation? Because as you pointed out with, you know, the a lot of people are just trying to sell things. And the other thing is oftentimes with the media, unfortunately, negativity is what sells or gets the click-throughs and things like that. So I'm really excited that you're going to be able to share, you know, just pure advice and pure information with our listeners today. As you and I were prepping for this call, I know it's very near and dear to both our hearts about making sure women in particular have the right set of facts and information. And I think you and I are going to try and maybe go through a few different stages of life, because what might be applicable for you might not be applicable for me. And I would say certainly for our listeners who are maybe just starting out with their first adult job and things like that, what they should be focusing on doing is very different from what you and I might
absolutely be. Right.
Yeah. So why don't we start out then, you know, with our younger listeners who are just starting their career. They've got, you know, their first big girl job, if you will, or they're starting their own company, or, you know, doing maybe in the gig economy. What are some of the things we want to make sure that if you're in the first part of your career and kind of establishing your finances to consider? And, you know, maybe what are some challenges? And then let's talk through some opportunities.
I'm going to make this very simple for you when you're just
I love that.
Okay. And the principle here, just keep this in mind, is time is money. And it can work very powerfully against you or for you. Let me give you a quick example. It's been in all of my books. You charge $2,000 on your credit card. I don't know whether you went on vacation or you bought new clothes or furniture, whatever else it is. And you get the bill and you go, oh my goodness, how am I going to pay that off? There's that comforting box, minimum monthly payment. So that's what you do. Your credit's in good standing. You make the minimum monthly payment every month. Let's say your finance charges are about 20%. Probably they're more than that these days. And let's say you pay maybe $40 a year for the card. Do you know how long it will take you to pay off that balance, making only the minimum payments? The answer is 31 years and 2 months.
And oh my gosh.
Along the way, you'll pay another $8,000 in interest. So in other words, four times what you paid for the item you bought or the trip you took. And I guarantee you 31 years from now, you won't even remember who was on that trip with you. Furniture is on its way to the Salvation Army for sure. if you bought clothes and you know, and you save them, and if they come back in style, I could tell you this for sure, you will not be able to fit into them 31 years from now. That's called digging yourself a deep hole. Now, if you took that same $2,000 and invested it just in the stock market, and I'm not talking about beating the market or high tech or this or AI, I'm just talking about the S&P 500 stock index. Going back 100 years, that index has averaged about a 10% return. That's average, big up years, big down years.
Right.
Over the last 100 years, if you put your money in a, so you open an IRA and you put the $2,000, and Nicole will tell you how to do this, or maybe it's in your 401k plan at work. Mm-hmm. You put the $2,000 in that Standard & Poor 500 stock index where no taxes, it's all tax deferred, all the dividends get reinvested. In 31 years, you'd have about $500,000. Now, I don't know if that's so impressive. Oh, no, you'd have only about $40,000, but if you did it every year, for the next 31 years. So the last few years had fewer years to grow, you know, but $2,000 a year, you're about at $500,000. But watch this. You're 20 now. I'm talking to you. If you got to be 70, 50 years from now, you'd have $2.5 million in your 401k or IRA.
Right. And that's, can you just reiterate for our listeners, how much in savings is that every year?
Watch this. That's $2,000 a year. You know what that works out to be?
Wow.
$38.46 a week. So if you gave up the latte every day, okay, and put that money, you don't have to beat the market. You just have to be the market. If America's here, that's what we're all betting on. 50 years from now, $2.5 million. Now, look, if you're just starting out, you probably have a 401k plan at work.
Right.
Maybe your boss contributes 50 cents or a dollar for every dollar you contribute, then you only have to put away $1,000 a year. And of course, the limits are much higher for 401k plans. So the balance, the idea is that time can work against you, buried in debt, paying interest on stuff you don't even have anymore, restaurant down the drain, versus growing your money in the stock market over the long run. And you don't know that now, but when you look back from my viewpoint, in my case, I was writing books then, I was trading then. I learned this, and that's how I'm here talking to you today.
Right.
But time is money. You can get money back, but you can never get time. So the message is start now, stick with the plan. Yes, there'll be headlines. You talked about negative headlines. The market's down, it's crashing, the tariffs, this, the da-da-da-da-da. Just keep putting that regular amount in your 401k or your individual retirement account, and the money will grow for you over the long run.
Absolutely.
Easy way out.
And I just like to add on two things. One is a 401k, not only is it time on your friend, you can get free money from your employer, but it also, because it goes in with each paycheck, you're actually benefiting yourself by when we do go through the inevitable and normal parts of a market cycle, which includes the downside, you're actually being able to invest more because the share price is lower. And so that's to your benefit. And in our industry, we call that dollar cost averaging. So you're actually doing that with your 401k. And when you're at this point in your career, you're probably, you know, you're not at your peak earning potential. So you can also participate in the Roth 401k. So you pay taxes on it today. It grows tax deferred. You follow all the withdrawal rules. It comes out income tax free. And then this way you're paying taxes when typically you're in a lower tax bracket, and then taking it out when you're potentially in a higher tax bracket. And then you can also, while your income may be at, you know, the lowest part, you can also do a Roth IRA. So those are two things I just wanted to add on to Terry's comments.
Yeah, good point. If you get a choice and you're in your 20s or 30s even,
sure,
or 40s,
yeah,
you get a choice between a traditional 401k, which is, oh, you get the tax deduction, big deal. If you get the choice of a Roth, go for the Roth. The growth, see, and when you're 73, you have to take money out of your traditional IRA or 401k. The government wants it. It's taxed, all those gains as ordinary income. But
Correct.
You get the Roth option, and if they keep their promise, that $2.5 million is going to be tax-free.
Right. And that is massive. So, okay. So I think we've kind of given some tips for when you're just starting out. The let's go kind of now the once you're maybe you're more established. So maybe you're like late 30s and 40s, maybe into early 50s. I know when we were prepping for this call, Terry, we were talking about, I think she's on all the socials, but it's the, you were talking about the We Do Care About Money Club.
You know, I should probably launch that. We really do care about money. And that's, by the way, boy, Nicole, you just nailed it. This is for this key for this moment. It's not cool to say, I don't know, I don't care about money. I don't care.
Right.
I don't. You cannot afford to say you do not care about money. Now, when you reach the stage, Nicole, that you're talking about, there's one of two paths have happened in your life. Probably either you're involved with a partner, whether you're married or in a relationship or whatever, or you're very firmly on your own. It may happen down the road, but you've reached the point where it's not about kids and it's not about families and so forth at this stage. So either way, I want to talk about, just give one word of advice on two tracks. You have a partner, you have kids, you're a spouse or partner, whatever it is.
Sure.
The same thing applies, by the way, to your children. You should, when they're born, open a 529 college savings account. All that money comes out tax-free. I know you're all going, but no, when I have kids, that's when my expenses go up.
Right.
The first savage truth, my book, The Savage Truth on Money, is if you don't see it, you won't spend it. Okay? So if you have money taken out automatically from your paycheck for a 401k, from your checking account for a 529, that gives the money time to grow for your children. So now you're on this path where you have a partner. I co-authored a book with a divorce attorney and a divorce court judge called The New Love Deal, Everything You Must Know Before Marrying, Moving In, or Moving On. You can find it on Amazon. It's about 6 years old. it's really important if you have a partner that you discuss money and you understand that your money and your retirement account is yours, that you're going to decide what joint things you're going to buy. And I don't ever want to hear someone say, yeah, no, he pays the mortgage because he has a bigger check. So I pay for the electricity and the groceries and everything. And it works out just about even. It doesn't. You have to build equity in the home. You have to, you're sharing your credit. Gosh, get a credit report before you get married, please, or co-sign for a mortgage, because you really need to know about your partner. So that's a whole long discussion.
Yeah.
Your partner.
That could be a whole series of podcasts on that. Right.
Now, if you're single, here's some things to think about. You're going to rely on yourself. That's perfectly fine. And sometimes it's a lot easier. I get
absolutely sure. Be a lot less stressful. Okay.
But this means you have to do more about saving beyond even maybe your 401k. You want money inside your retirement account. But you have to figure out a way to take money outside and set it aside. I'm not saying that all goes in the stock market. I have a concept called not only the bulls and the bears, you know, in the stock market, the bulls think it's going up, the bears think it's going down. I add a third category, the bulls, the bears, and the chickens. And I define chicken money as money you cannot afford to lose. It's not about because you're old and you might need it. It could be you're younger and you've got a specific goal, money for a down payment. You don't want to be speculating with that money. That belongs in the bank and money market accounts, short-term CDs, treasury bills. At terrysavage.com, there's an article called How to Buy T-Bills. So this is money you set aside, not that you're going to use to pay off your credit card bill next month. Money that you're building up a reserve that gives you flexibility in case you lose that job, in case you want to make a switch, in case you want to start your own business. So it's very important. And people say, oh, well, it should be 6 months' salary or whatever. It's really how well can you sleep at night? Remember, your 401k, your IRA are these long-term investments.
That's longer-term money, right?
Who cares at age 37 what the balance is in your 401k? You're not taking it out till you're 70 or so. But if you're living every day and you're living on paycheck to paycheck, you have no cushion and you have fear then hugging you because you don't have the ability to say at your job, I don't do that. I won't do that. You don't have the ability to jump at the opportunity to, whether it's to buy a condo on sale when the market's, you know, the real estate market's crashing and you've got cash, or whether it's to say, I'm going to start my own business. So yeah, and keep some money, chicken money on the side. That's for
agreed. Yeah. And there's rules of thumbs out there and those are fine, but really you need to figure out what works for you individually, especially if we will kind of do here, if you're single without a partner, and then we do want to have some time to talk about if you are in a committed relationship. I also find that what really impacts women at this age is a couple of things for opportunity. So you've built your emergency fund, whether it's 6 months of fixed expenses, maybe you do a little longer if you only have your income to be funding the household. You can look at paying down debt. You can also, you know, probably at this point, you're maxing out the 401k, so you can start investing for longer term goals outside of the retirement plan. And we also, I guess, if we flip to some of the challenges, you know, Terry, you and I know that a couple of things, women still take care of, they usually have to take time off from work to care for family members, whether it's for children, aging parents, maybe grandparents, friends, you know, things like that. And so some of the challenges I know I've seen, and there's all the studies, is it does impact your ability to save for retirement. It impacts your Social Security benefits. It's also going to impact your future income potential. So I think those are some of the things of why it circles back to your point of if you are independent, I personally think it's fabulous. I was independent or on my own for most of my adult life. There's certainly a lot of stress and challenges, but it is doable. And you need to be more engaged with your finances because it's all riding on you and your efforts.
Yeah, that's a big keep you up in the middle of the night. I know I was a single mother.
Right. And,
first of all, it's very disillusioning right now. I mean, I just read that this will be the first year that the United States net loses population ever. The combination of people leaving or being forced to leave and the birth rate dropping. is an astounding thing. It takes a lot of confidence in your future to have children, but you can do it and you will do it. Same thing with parents.
Right.
So I want to talk about one other thing, maybe when we get to the next stage or now, that is really critical to women and maybe more critical to you in your 30s for your parents who are in their 60s. And that is the subject of long-term care insurance. Now, I've been preaching this for many, many years. You know, you think Medicare will cover everything. And if you're younger, you don't even know anything about Medicare.
Right.
But one thing Medicare does not cover, unless you're totally impoverished, is nursing home care. And you don't want to be in a Medicaid-funded, that's state-funded nursing home. Right. Medicare covers very little assistance in the home, and probably less and less as time goes on. So if you want to be able to stay in your own home or move to a nice assisted living facility, you want to think, and I don't sell anything, believe me, but you go to terrysavage.com and you can put any of these topics in the search column box and you can read about it. And I have resources there, but I get nothing from any of my recommendations or the people I recommend. Long-term care insurance is insurance that says, I won't be the bag lady that everyone cares about and out on the street in my old age or in a Medicaid-funded nursing home.
Now, I'm just going to add on, many people buy it because they don't want to be a burden to their family.
Yeah. So if you're in we're catching you in your 30s and 40s with your parents in their 60s,
yeah,
a holiday gift, or read the articles about how it used to be long-term care insurance policies. You know, you died. I bought one for my mother and my father. My father used his. I was so glad I had it. My mother passed away quickly after her illness. And so I never used it. So it was money down the drain. But I was glad I had it for peace of mind. Today's right. policies combine long-term care and life insurance. So if no one uses a long-term care, and there are discounts when you have both parents on a policy, if you don't use the care, then there's a big death benefit because the insurance company has made this promise. So right. I urge you as a woman, either if you're in your 50s or 60s now, or if you're a younger woman and you have parents at the 60-something level, to look into long-term care insurance. It's something nobody talks to women about, and yet it's our greatest fear. We don't want to be the bag lady.
Right. We don't want to be the bag lady. Women in general do not want to be burdens to anyone.
Right.
So whether you're single and you're thinking, are my friends going to take care of me, or family members? The other thing I'll just quickly say is also many of the larger employers offer group long-term care insurance. We are in the heart of open enrollment season right now. So I would look into that as well, because that can be a less expensive way to get benefits. And oftentimes those policies are portable.
That's a question. Make sure.
What portable means for our listeners is you can take it with you when you either leave your employer for any reason. So we could do a whole episode on that. I think since we kind of transitioned into, so you've established your career, you know, you've saved both within and outside of the retirement plans, you're paying down debt, maybe you've paid it off. So now you're at the point where, and at least here at Private Vista, we steer away from the retirement term and we say, you know, you're financially independent. So working for
pay. I love it.
Yeah, right?
I love it.
Working for pay is a choice. So some of the challenges we see and that we talk about with our clients are, great, you've done, you know, Terry gave some great statistics of time is your friend. You've got your $2 million portfolio, you know, or $5 million or whatever it is. One question our clients always ask us is, well, I'm not going to get a paycheck anymore. How am I going to pay my bills? So we always have nice conversations, very robust, about how we recreate their paycheck and how do you turn that pot of money into an income stream? And most importantly, how do we do it in the most tax efficient way so you're keeping more money in your pocket? So that's one of the challenges we see for people at this point in their life. Often talking about Social Security, if you can defer it, you know, as long as possible. Age 70 is the oldest you'd want to do it. The reason you would defer is you do get an 8% raise on your benefits every year, and that's compounded. So that's a great way to maximize those benefits. We already talked about potential long-term care expenses. And then one that, you know, I'm seeing more and more is the children that never launch. So,
well, wait, let's go back to Social Security. My latest book, written with famed economist Larry Kotlikoff, is called Social Security Horror Stories. We uncovered these series of overpayments. I won't get into that. But my latest column and my latest radio show yesterday on WGN Radio with Larry. But the latest column is urging you. So go to terrysavage.com. Whenever you get there, it'll be the top one, two, or three columns. As I post new ones every week. The argument for waiting till 70 to take Social Security, but I give you three key points. Social Security is your only inflation-adjusted annuity that you can buy from a reputable source, the U.S. government. Now, Larry talks about how the fact that all those politicians are not about to shortchange Social Security, they'll get around to fixing it. Yeah. But the critical thing is, people in the investment world talk about averages. If you live on average to 81 or 78, or you're a woman, it might be a few years longer, whatever. Social, you might run out of money if you live to be 94 or 5 or 6. Gosh, my dad lived to be 96. Social Security is the one that will last as long as you do. So you want that highest base.
Exactly.
Taking it at 62 and taking it at 70 is a 76% increase in your basic check, on top of which you'll get the inflation adjustments.
Right.
So live on your IRA for those extra few years. Don't worry about breaking even. Worry about what happens if I live longer and I need the money at the end because I've used up my IRA. You're going to have the biggest possible Social Security check, and they won't stop paying it out. They'll fix it.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree with that. So we've talked about that. I think some, you know, opportunities we've seen for when you get to this point is also how are you going to spend your time, right? So we've had clients where they look, maybe can their hobby be turned into income generating? That gives a lot of other opportunities to continue for some tax strategies if you're still wanting to save along the way, and then flexibility. So we do see, I would say, that. And the biggest thing would be analyze what makes sense for you. Again, individualized for Social Security. How do you recreate the paycheck? Because I know at least, you know, Social Security is going to cover a portion of the expenses. It's not going to get you all the way there.
Nicole, is this what you do? If a woman comes to you as a result, I'm going to turn the tables because I'm a TV person. I'm going to interview you right back in our remaining couple of minutes.
Sure.
So now we have an audience of women who, whatever their age, maybe they're in their 20s and starting out, or a mother saying to her daughter, you got to watch this podcast, or a woman who's 55 or 60 and worried about the next round of job layoffs will be me.
Right.
Is this what you do? Take people one-on-one, put your arm around them. And it's not just about how do we invest your money, but how do we plan going forward? Is that what you do?
Yeah, I appreciate you turning the tables, Terry. And you're exactly right. That is what I do. And also all my wonderful colleagues at Private Vista. I, as my longtime listeners know, I am really passionate and focused on working with women because I could not agree with you more about everyone needs to be engaged with their finances. And so, yes, we are all fiduciaries. We start our process with a comprehensive financial plan that is 100% advice-based. It has nothing to do with products or, to your point, what should I be investing in?
I'm here. Everybody's saying, how much money do you have to have? How old can you be or how young can you be to start this?
Right. I mean, I 100%, it's never too soon to start. I wish I could say it's never too late, but
sometimes it is.
Yeah. But sometimes it is.
How much money do you have to come and get a meeting with you or one of your fiduciaries?
When we're looking for the clients, because of the in-depth level of financial planning we do, me personally, I'm one of the partners at the firm farther along in my career. So for me, I'm, you know, probably looking for like a couple million of investable assets, but I have a fabulous team of advisors who also are at different parts of their career cycle. And so if you are, you know, on the earlier side of starting things, we are looking for $750,000 of investable assets.
But does that include a young person's got an IRA with maybe $137,000?
We have a program, and I love that you're asking this. So I'm going to be very brief just because we're going to unfortunately have to be wrapping up. But we do have programs where we can work with people who are on the earlier side of things. So what I would say is, as we wrap up, I know we'll both be sharing our contact information. Okay. And so we, any of us, myself included at Private Vista, are happy to have a complimentary conversation with anyone because we're very passionate just making sure people are getting the right advice and good quality information. And if we're not the right fit for them, we do have other firms or other financial planning companies that have vetted and can perhaps make an introduction there if that would be the better fit.
So don't hold back because you don't think you have enough. You're going to have enough. If you do all those right things, if you start now, and it's really not ever too late, but you have so much more time on your side than money. If you start now, you will be that woman who needs to get that fiduciary advice. Yeah. And that's why I wanted to be on your podcast, because I know that's what you do.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. We're very aligned there. So Terry, you and I could sit here and talk probably for a week straight and not cover everything we know about or want to talk about. But I really want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with us today. I know you've mentioned it a couple of times, but we'll also have it in the show notes. If someone does want to, you know, perhaps access some of the resources you mentioned, is the best way through your website?
Right. Terry Savage, TerrySavage.com. I read it all. I answer the questions. That's what I do. I don't charge for that. But
perfect.
If you want personalized hands-on advice, I would send you to Nicole.
Thanks. I appreciate that. And if you would like to get in touch with myself, or again, we have a team of advisors here at Private Vista, there's two ways you can do it. You can call us at 312-831-4370, and our receptionist will be able to connect you with one of us. Or you can go to our website at privatevista.com. And on our homepage, you can click on the Contact Us button. Fill out your information. Please reference this episode. And again, you'll get connected with either myself or one of my fabulous colleagues.
All right. Well, thanks to both of you on behalf of Nicole and everyone at My Private Vista. Thank you for listening today. So please like, follow, and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, I'm Wendy McConnell.
Thank you for listening to the Dollars and Cents, Creating Your Fulfilled Life with Nicole Romito, sponsored by Private Vista. Visit our website at www.myprivatevista.com or give us a call at 312-831-4370. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Private Vista is a group comprised of investment professionals registered with Hightower Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is neither indicative nor a guarantee of future results. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data or other information referenced herein is from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analyses, prices, or other data or information contained in this presentation is provided as general market commentary and does not constitute investment advice. Private Vista and Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy or completeness of the information or for statements or errors or omissions, or results obtained from the use of this information. Private Vista and Hightower Advisors, LLC assume no liability for action made or taken in reliance on or relating in any way to this information. The information is provided as of the date referenced. Such data and other information are subject to changes without notice. This was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed herein are solely those of the authors and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates.